The Prime Minister spent the day fielding questions over a controversial $80 million water purchase. The Greens are leading calls for a royal commission into the management of the Murray-Darling Basin plan. Labor has put its potential support on the table, but is demanding the coalition produce all relevant documents before backing a royal commission. Earlier today, I spoke with former Liberal leader John Hewson and former Labor Trade Minister Craig Emerson on the ABC News Channel. I began by asking John Hewson whether a royal commission should be called.
Well, I'm not sure we have all the facts. Certainly the matter needs to be inquired into. I mean, you need much greater transparency than has been the case right through the operation of the Murray-Darling process. You need much greater transparency, and both sides are pointing to the other side as having made a mess of some of this in terms of the nature of the water buyback scheme. So we need full accountability, full transparency. If we don't get that, then of course you strengthen the case for something like a royal commission.
Craig Emerson, we've seen Labor deal with some of these questions of whether a previous Labor government did on these issues as well, paying also very high prices, I think, when Penny Wong was the minister. Do we need an inquiry that looks further back?
Well, if there's to be a royal commission, I'm sure they wouldn't have a cut-off date saying you can't look at anything beyond a particular date. Whether there is a royal commission or not will be a matter for Bill Shorten and his team. It is, I think, highly unusual for a government to spend $80 million and give it to a company that's domiciled in the Cayman Islands. Now, most people know that the Cayman Islands is a tax haven. It's not illegal, but it's highly unusual, I would argue. It's also highly unusual for the Agricultural Departmental Secretary to insert himself into this discussion by effectively putting out a statement over the weekend when the concerns expressed weren't about the department, but about the minister. And so the Agriculture Department Secretary has come out in defence, really, of the process that was adopted. And Tony Burke, as you said in your introduction, has now written to him, and given that the Agriculture Department is saying, well, we provided documents, they provided redacted documents, that is, with big black bits, you know, big bits blacked out. And why would you block them out and then say that's enough? So what Tony Burke has said is, well, unblock them so we can see what advice you provided, what happened at the time, without the old black highlighter or felt pen going through very, very important bits of the evidence. So I think there's a lot more to go in this issue, so-called Watergate. I don't know if Richard Nixon would have anticipated that there'd be Watergate 2, but the point is there are very serious questions to answer, most particularly, in my opinion, as to why you'd sell or give $80 million, which seems to be top dollar, to a company domiciled in the Cayman Islands that was at least in part established by Angus Taylor, a cabinet colleague of Mr. Joyce's.
So, and of course, he says that he had nothing to do with this. It was not really part of this group any longer, just to be clear. He's said that on the record now. But I want to bring you back in, John Hewson, because Barnaby Joyce has said his department was involved in these deliberations, not himself. But he obviously did the final tick off. That's what the minister does. So how much responsibility do ministers have in that context? Can you explain, I suppose, the Westminster tradition and how it works in terms of a department doing the deliberations and what the responsibility of a minister is?
Well, look, a responsible minister fully accepts the full responsibility for what happens. And in order to do that, of course, you need to be fully informed of as to the process and what decisions were taken in your name or in your absence, as well as signing off on the final document. So the minister is accountable under the Westminster system for all of this. And you would think in this case, with the sensitivity of this issue, the amount of publicity that some of these water buybacks have had over recent years, and some of the, you know, the awkward or corrupt behaviour that's been evident in some of this process, that you'd be particularly careful.
Let's move on to this issue around Adani. We've seen Labor dodge questions over whether a Shorten government would put the environmental approvals of the Adani mine back under scrutiny. What do you think here, Craig Emerson? Should it review the approval?
Well, it's in this position where the approvals have been given. Again, I must say, under curious circumstances, the Environment Minister was clearly under pressure to make these approvals. She called together departmental officials who've managed to supply handwritten notes to say that Adani didn't actually comply with all of provide the guarantees that were sought. So there's still questions to be answered here as to the process, to its thoroughness and so on. What the Agriculture Minister, Tony Burke, has said, what he said he won't do is simply say Labor won't go ahead with Adani, because that could put a Labor government into an extremely difficult legal situation. What he wants to be assured is that the processes that were followed to give these approvals were properly followed, that is, in accordance with the law.
John Hewson, should it be reviewed? We know that groundwater approval was given by Melissa Price just before the government went into caretaker mode. Would it be fair enough for Labor to reopen that?
Well, I think so. I mean, in the circumstances that, you know, pressure from the National Party, the minister immediately buckles makes the decision without perhaps fully releasing the available scientific evidence that the decision is supposed to be placed on. I mean, when I heard ministers, Morrison and Frydenberg and others, say we're just going to rely on the science, I was immediately suspicious as to the process that was going on. But look, more broadly than that, Adani is an issue on which we should see leadership. I mean, climate has emerged as the dominant issue in this campaign after the cost of living. People are looking for leadership. And I think you've got to make a hard-line statement. How can you be taken seriously on the issue of climate change if you're prepared to condone a new coal mine, and what potentially is one of the biggest coal mines in the world, let alone a new coal-fired power station? I mean, you can't be taken seriously if you're trying to have a foot in both camps, one in the coal camp and one in the climate camp. And all the hoopla of the last couple of weeks about, you know, how much it's going to cost, what impact there's going to be on the transition to a low-carbon society in this country, that pales into insignificance in the absence of leadership, which makes clear statements. And if there are legal consequences, they would need to be dealt with. But I don't think the approval process over a number of years will really stand a lot of scrutiny.
I wonder what you make of this, Craig Emerson, because the CFMMEU has warned Bill Shorten against taking any action that could jeopardise the mine. Is there a difference here to the reports of internal pressure against Melissa Price? Because clearly there's a union here exerting pressure.
Well, I hear that, you know, Bill Shorten has to do everything that the CFMEU tells him what to do, and then when he doesn't do, you know, what they tell him to do, then it's a different story. I mean, this is, you know, it's obviously an issue which in regional Queensland, there is a lot of, you know, economic slack where people are out of work and so on. They want it to go ahead. In Victoria, they don't. In other parts, in the you know, urban centres of Australia, they don't. It's one of these issues that, you know, no one will be really happy about one way or the other. So it will require a decision. The government's made a decision that will probably please people in central Queensland and infuriate people in a lot of seats in Melbourne and outer Melbourne suburbs, which are held by Liberals, who, including Greg Hunt, a former Environment Minister, will probably be quite appalled by the decision that's been made. But in the end, it's a little bit like the whole climate change issue. Malcolm Turnbull tweeted about this on the weekend. Those hard right-wingers of the National Party and the Liberal Party will take the party down and out if they don't get their way on particular issues. And this is, as John said, part of the bigger picture of climate change. We've got economic modelling coming out, you know, at $60 billion. There's going to be more said on that tomorrow. No one counts the cost of doing nothing on climate change. Exactly. When it comes to the Liberals. They just say, look, if you do anything, it's going to cost, so do nothing. Do nothing. The reason that they're saying do nothing is because they're paralysed. If Scott Morrison believed in climate change, and I'm not sure what his view is, but because he did hold a big lump of coal up in the parliament, but even if he did believe in climate change, the coalition is paralysed on this. So the only tactic that they have available is to attack Labor for releasing a comprehensive policy on climate change and saying, oh, that's carbon getting, that's the end of the world as we know it. It means that if the Coalition were re-elected, there would be nothing done on climate change.
All right. And I've got to pick you up on that. They do have a couple of policies to deal with climate change, and they say they don't want to withdraw from Paris. And also the Prime Minister has said that he does believe in climate change.
That settles that. Direct action. Seriously.
I know you can have your views, but that's what he says. I just want to bring John Hewson in. Now, former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull took to Twitter that was just mentioned by Craig Emerson. He didn't miss it. No one missed it. And he talked about his National Energy Guarantee policy. Hmm. What did you make of that intervention?
Well, I'm sure Malcolm was just making the point, trying to establish the correctness of the record. He didn't mean to undermine anybody. But having said that, I think that this whole issue of the NEG is being kicked around again as a political football. I mean, when Malcolm was looking for bipartisan support on the NEG, he couldn't get it from the Labor Party. Now Shorten's supporting the NEG, he's asking for Morrison for bipartisan support. He won't get it from Morrison either. And this is ridiculous. Bottom line is higher electricity prices and gas prices, more to the detriment of households and businesses in this country. We're back in the climate wars over something that really should have been a settled issue. I mean, be realistic. I mean, the NEG was about the fourth best solution anyway. We'd iterated down to, the lowest common denominator. We still can't get agreement on that. And I think in those circumstances, I mean, I understand Malcolm wanting to set the record straight from his point of view. And it's true. It did go to the party room several times. It did get supported several times. But it was, in a sense, used to undermine him as well. We got to get out of this world. We've got to start getting to the higher plane of what's in the national interest in a medium to longer term sense, not these short term political point scoring games.
On that note, we'll wait till Monday next week to see what the campaign might be about. Thanks to both of you, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thanks Patricia.